This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, good to have you with us here on this Wednesday. You're listening to William Hill's Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham, looking at the one event this week on the PGA Tour, the Texas Open. There is also the Eurasia Cup that starts actually at Thursday morning, 2 a.m. Europe versus Asia in that competition. And Team Europe well-backed, 2-5 favourites. But as ever, we'll start, Mike, by reflecting on what happened last week. And yet another big-named capitulation, really. Adam Scott leading by 7 going into the final 36 holes at Arnold Palmer's tournament. And he blew it.
Yeah, terrible. He was 10-under, wasn't he, after one round?
Yep. 14-under after two.
Yep.
And
then he wasn't that after, was he?
So that's it.
Yeah, when you think that in the last few rounds he was only a couple under par, wasn't he, really? So question mark there for all you Adam Scott fans.
What did you does that performance have any bearing or effect on what's going to happen in a couple of weeks' time at the Masters?
Well, I don't fancy him anyway for that particularly. Of course he can win because he does play very well there. But, yeah, of course it does. Yeah, it has to, doesn't it? That's got to dent your confidence when you could argue he depends how he deals with it. If he has a 62 in his head and thinking how well he's playing because of the 62, then he'd be good. But
he must have it in the back of his mind the way he's performed over those final two rounds, because the chasers weren't exactly the highest caliber.
No.
Matt Every, who has threatened to win numerous times on tour, has finally got his breakthrough victory, and it was a well-deserved win. A man who he calls an egg, doesn't he, Mike? He's very forthright in his at any press conferences, and he spoke honestly and openly about his difficulties in the past of closing out tournaments. So he deserved his victory, but Adam Scott gifted it to him.
Yeah, Stevie Williams will be having a word, won't he? He'll be letting him down like that. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts. Scott's obviously a player who's at the top of his game in the last couple of years, and he's right at the top of the world rankings also. But hard player to get right for betting purposes, I always think. Mm. And therefore, I won't be backing him at the Masters because I think he'll be underpriced, particularly given his capitulation.
Quick check on
not saying he can't win.
No,
obviously he can, but yeah, and has done. But it'd be interesting to see.
McIlroy currently the 7-1 favourite for the Masters. Tiger Woods 8-1. Adam Scott 10-1.
Too short.
Phil Mickelson 14-1. Jason Day 16s. Dustin Johnson 20s. 22s and bigger the rest. The Masters are only a couple of weeks away now, and I'm looking forward to that. Let's have a look at this week's event then, Mike. This is the Valero Texas Open, and Phil Mickelson and Zach Johnson are 16-1 joint favourites. Matt Kuchar 18-1. Jimmy Walker is 20s, along with Jordan Spieth. It's 22-1 Jim Furyk, 25-1 for Ryan Palmer, and 28s bar. A slight change in the schedule this season, with the Texas Open coming 2 weeks before the Masters, whereas last year it was the week before Augusta. And Houston again has that prime slot before Augusta this year. And you would expect an influx of top-named Europeans next week, whereas last season, for instance, Rory McIlroy appeared here to tune up for the Masters. So a slightly weaker field this year, and there have been a number of high-profile withdrawals as well, with last week's winner Matt Every withdrawing, Ryan Moore's out, Patrick Reed is out, Charles Howell III out as well. Not that I'm sure he would have been a factor in the finish.
But there are the wind machine.
There have been a few high-profile withdrawals, so it's a slightly weaker field this year to the one that was here last year.
Yeah, it's not an incredibly deep field this week for the US Tour event, I don't think. But there's some real quality at the top, and it's in a fascinating betting puzzle, and one that I Yeah, I found it quite difficult, if I'm being honest. I think it's a bit of a... You fancied a load this week, didn't you? Well, so did I.
I did, yeah.
I fancied too many, and then the ones that I did, a lot of the ones that I fancied just weren't the price I wanted, I have to say.
Okay. This event has always been played in San Antonio, Mike, but since 2010, the Oaks course at TPC San Antonio has hosted the tournament. And the scoring, Mike, largely dependent on the weather. If the wind blows, as it did in 2011 and 2012, where Brendan Steele and Ben Curtis won respectively, scoring can be tough. But there are scores out there. Martin Laird closed last year with a 63 to win with a total of 14 under to deny Rory McIlroy. So scoring is out there, but the par fives are tough. It's a difficult test, and driving the ball accurately can be key here because these fairways are pretty narrow.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think accuracy off the tee. Ball striking generally, I think, not distance so much, but accuracy off the tee and then greens in regulation, the key stats this week. Scrambling's also important, but not as, for me, as those first two. If you're hitting it on the green, you don't need to worry about scrambling so much.
Of course. Three picks for me.
Three picks for me as well, David. I've gone for outsiders this week.
I have as well.
Have you?
Actually, yeah. I didn't think there was much at the top of the market.
No, that's what I was saying. I had a list of players that I thought I might well have picked here, and I'll name some of them later. But every single one of them, when I looked at their odds, they disappointed me, and I was like, "Oh, I can't pick him." So I was. I've been speculative this week.
Ah, well, we're matching there then. I'll let you lead off then, Mike.
Well, I have to be honest, Dave, and say none of these are absolutely red hot. Nap bets, you know, they're not ones that some people would immediately say were obvious, but in fact two of them missed a number of cuts in recent weeks, so that's how in the spirit of outsiders winning this event a little bit, by the way,
and outsiders doing well on tour recently as well.
Absolutely, three of the last four winners here have been over 100-1. Let's hope it happens again. David Toms is my first pick, Dave.
Okay.
He has missed four of his last five cuts, but was fourth in Puerto Rico 2 or 3 weeks ago. We talked about greens irregulation and accuracy being important here. Well, he's top of both of those stats on tour, not putting very well. So that is obviously a big worry, that he's putting. But
huge surprise for someone like David Toms as well, because he's built his career around strong putting. Mm. So that is surprising.
I'm rather hoping that he sorts that out this week, Dave, and returns to something like his best. He has been playing a little bit lately, so clearly he's got a little bit of focus back. You've got to remember that back in the last year, this guy was seventh in the USPGA. A couple of top 20s in Wyndham and Reno as well. And earlier in the year, finished 13th in the US Masters at Augusta, obviously. So he can still get the ball around the course, and he's 125-1, I think.
That's it.
The last price I saw. Well, for a guy who's about 13 wins on tour, I'm willing to take a risk on David Toms this week. He only has one win in the last 7 or 8 years on tour, if I'm being really honest about it. So he's maybe one to go win on top 10. In fact, I might do that with all of my picks. But has a win in Texas to his name at Colonial. Has plenty of experience of playing down there. So I'm just hoping that those great ball striking, well, great greens in regulation and driving accuracy stats stand to David Toms this week, and he can build on that fourth place in Puerto Rico in what was a lesser event 2 or 3 weeks ago. Mm. 125, I think there's a little bit of value in that. I like the juice in that, and he could easily see him finishing top 10, and who knows?
When we said outsiders, Mike, I've got one that's away from the top end of the betting but isn't exactly throwing a dart at the bullseye here. Kevin Chappell is my first
pick. He's not an outsider. What is he?
40-1.
Oh, my word.
Kevin Chappell. The other two are bigger prices. Kevin Chappell is my first pick. I'm reasonably confident as well, going, as I did with Stenson last week, 1.5 points each way. And he grabbed a little bit of place money for both of us
Stenson. Yeah. It almost saved our stakes for the week, didn't he?
It did, very, indeed.
Very nearly.
I think Kevin Chappell's a tour winner in waiting, and he's got a good record on this golf course as well. Second on his debut here in 2011 and 15th here last year. It must be said, he did withdraw when he was plus four in 2012. So you've got to mention all his course form, not just the
ones that suit you.
Ones that suit me, which I sometimes do. He is 20th in total driving this season, which I think bodes very well around this golf course, because I think it is a golf course where you've got to drive the ball well. And he's also 38th in greens in regulation, which shows that his game is in good order at the moment. And the other thing I like is that when he played well here in 2011, he putted superbly. But last year, he drove the ball well. The putter wasn't on song. So it shows that he can play this golf, every department of this golf course. And hopefully, I'm hoping he can put it all together this week. He did impress last week at Bay Hill with four rounds of par or better. And that's a difficult golf course. So to shoot four rounds of par or better, I think, bodes very well. And he ranked fifth in driving accuracy last week, despite a poor opening round with the driver. The only negative I see with him, Mike, is that when he's been under pressure in the past, his swing can get a little bit short. And that's maybe why he's not won yet. He might feel the heat a little bit. But remember when he was third in the US Open in 2012? This guy can play a difficult golf course as well. So I'm hoping this is the week that Kevin Chappell breaks through at 40s.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, Dave. And he was one of the players that, before I came to the event, I thought I'd probably be picking. But I just thought 33, is he, or 40?
40, yeah.
Slightly short for him, maybe, given he's a non-winner as yet. I expect him to win on tour. But I agree with all the rest of it. I'm going for John Hurt as my second pick, who is another player who has missed four of his last five cuts. So I'm really pushing it a little bit this week. But he was second in this event in 2012. And his form in his last eight events in Texas, out of his last eight events, he's got five top 15s in Texas. So he really plays well in this state.
Yeah.
Including that second, obviously, but a fifth and an eighth in other events. He's clearly not been in great heart, given the fact I've just told you about the number of cuts he's missed recently. But his ball striking's good when he's at his best, and he is a man who's accurate off the tee. He's suited by this course. He's suited by playing in the wind. Had a reasonable finish at the Northern Trust a couple of weeks ago. So I'm just hoping that John Hurt can bounce back to form on this San Antonio track, where he announced his name, really, to golfing fans with that second place behind Ben Curtis a couple of years ago. He's a big price. I think he's about 100, 125.
100 to 1.
Yeah. And he probably, on his missed cuts, he probably deserves to be, but he was 100 to 1 when second here, as I said, 2 years ago. And the course really suits him. So if he can just get going, I'd give John Hurt a chance of surprising a few this week.
We'll definitely get a free lunch bet out of it this week, I think.
But yeah, well I'm picking guys who could bomb here.
Yeah.
I'm being a bit speculative. I've no solid picks this week. Mine are big price, the price calls.
Yeah, and my next two are all are both triple figure prices as well.
Oh, yeah, proper outsiders.
Joining the bandwagon. Brian Davis is my second selection here at 125 to 1. I'll go a point each way on Brian Davis, another guy that's yet to win on tour, but has come close in the past, most notably in the Heritage back in 2010, when he called him a penalty on himself in the playoff with Jim Furyk. This just looks a good setup for Brian Davis. He ranks sixth in driving accuracy this season, and he's played some very good golf over the final 36 holes at Bay Hill last week. Only made two bogeys and was bogey-free in round four in difficult conditions where a number of top players struggled last week. And this is a guy with good form in Texas as well. 29th on debut here last year, and has a couple of top tens in his last six starts in the state. Fourth in the Houston Open in April 2012, and tied for sixth in the Houston Open last year, so maybe one to watch next week as well.
Yeah.
But this setup's nice for him, I think. And he won't be 125 to 1 if he plays well this week. So I'll go point each way on Brian Davis at that price.
Yeah, we are being speculative, aren't we? My final pick, Dave, is Carl Pettersson, who has only played here the once. He was 22nd in 2010. Again, not been in amazing form in the last year or so, but is definitely showing at least signs of an upturn in the last few weeks. So he's my form pick of the three of mine. he was fourth in Puerto Rico and 20th in the Valspar. So given that he's got a second to his name in Houston in recent years and five tour wins to his name, I just think he's a bit overpriced at 50-1. At 80-1, should I say.
Yep.
He's a quality player, you know, not that old, but plenty of tour wins to his name. Looks like he's coming right back to form to me. I know the fourth in Puerto Rico was a pretty low-grade event, you know, but I'm hoping that himself and Toms, who both got placed there, can use the confidence gained in that event the week before last to really kick on a bit. And Peterson, as I say, he's a player that when he can get in contention, he knows what to do. Mm. He knows where the finish line is. His stats aren't necessarily superbly suited to this course, if I'm being honest. You know, he's not the most accurate off the tee, but I just think that that was eye-catching, that 20th at Valspar. So let's hope that he can run a big race at 80s.
80-1 for Carl Peterson in the Texas Open. I'm going for a Texan as my final pick here.
Yeah.
Martin Flores is my last selection at 100-1. This guy was born in Fort Worth and is still a Dallas resident now. He's done next to nothing in the early part of the season. So from a statistical standpoint, there's little to really recommend him, Mike. However, he has improved his form recently. He finished tied 12th at the Honda Classic and 19th in that weak low-grade event in Puerto Rico. And those performances...
He's getting a lot of name checks, that
it
one.
It is, isn't it? Those performances will have given him a little bit of confidence, and his form at this venue is strong. Finished 10th here last year and 24th in 2012, 51st here on debut in 2010. And I think the good thing about those two performances, when he was 10th last year, he came in with only one top 50 in the season prior to the event, and that was a 34th place finish at the Farmers. And the year before, when he was 24th, that came after four or five missed cuts and a 66 at the Arnold Palmer. So this is a guy that despite playing abysmally in the lead up to the event, has produced decent finishes. This time round, he comes in with a little bit of form, having finished top 20 in the Honda and Puerto Rico. It's more instinct than anything, but I think he could have a big week, and 100-1 for a Texas resident coming in with a bit of form looks good to me.
Fair call. Well, we've gone through it a bit this week, haven't we, Dave? No one can accuse us of picking the Fabs this week, can they? Players that I looked at, Jim Furyk, third here last year.
He was the man that, at the top of the betting, if I was going to go for one, I know Kevin Chappell's just behind, isn't he? Probably grade B. If grade A is the top four or five in the betting. He's the one for me, Jim Furyk.
Yes, yeah.
He's 22s.
But just short, given he doesn't win a lot these days.
Yeah.
I don't like backing him at bigger prices. I mean, I could name a load. But JB Holmes is really interested me this week because he's played well before here and has also was 10th last week.
He's 50-1.
Yeah, a bit short.
I've got him. He's on my. Got six names down on the list, and he's one of them. JB Holmes.
Freddie Jacobson is a pretty obvious pick, but 33s were just too short for me. In fact, he might even be shorter than that now.
30s.
30. You know, he's come back right back to form, and again, a sublime course form for a player of his grade. Player I like a lot, and probably the player I don't want to win. But I just thought it was just too short given what price he has been available at lately in events to be at 30s rather. Ryan Palmer, Jimmy Walker, Texans who have obvious chances. Brendan Steele plays fantastic.
Well, Jimmy Walker will be sleeping at home this week, won't he? He lives in San Antonio, so he's pretty much right on the golf course.
Yeah, he had a good finish there on the first year it was here. Wasn't third, wasn't he? But the last 3 years, not spectacular, but clearly he's elevated his game. But maybe he's done his winning, I think, for a while now.
I agree with you to a certain extent. There's got to be at some point with a guy that goes through a purple patch a regression to the mean.
Yes.
And that could be the case with Jimmy Walker.
He may prove us wrong, but I'm willing to let that happen at 22-1 or 20-1, whatever he is. He's 20s. He's short, isn't he, at that? So Steele plays well here. Martin Laird, I thought, might be on your mind, Dave. Past winner.
I'm not convinced he's in the he's playing decent, Martin Laird,
but not well enough.
But maybe not well enough. I'm not entirely convinced Martin Laird 40-1 as well.
Yeah, again, the price. All, you know, there's a lot of that this week. I said it earlier on the point. You know, a lot of these guys are on my mind, but the price is just not just short, but too short, if that makes sense. They were they were a level lower than I would even want to take a chance with. So Laird fitted into that category, and as probably did Ryo Ishikawa, who's not played here, but he's...
You like Ishikawa, don't you?
I think he's going to win soon. I do, yeah, I do. So, yeah, that's Sam mentioned everyone in the field now. So, anyone left for you to talk about?
Well, the two that you mentioned, Fjorik and Holmes, were on my list. Other players on my list, Aaron Baddeley, who showed a little bit of something last week and is a great putter, has form here.
Yeah.
I've got a sneaky feeling Padraig Harrington could go well this week. He has been showing absolutely nothing, and... But he played some good golf in the early part of last week before completely dropping out of contention.
So
finished 10th here last year. I'll be interested to see how Harrington plays. Scott Langley, finished third a couple, but he's a much shorter price than he was. But if the wind blows, this is something I mentioned to you off air. He's a very, very good wind player, Scott Langley.
Yes, you backed him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Although you didn't put it on Twitter, did you?
I didn't put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was just a bit... it was frustrating because he almost traded even money for that event in the end. Mm. And Cameron Tringali, who was a much bigger price this year than he was last year, but he was so short last year.
Yeah.
He was crazily short last year. Yeah. He's... almost double the price this year. He'd be interesting.
There'll be a few of these at the end of the event we'll look back on and say, God, they were underpriced. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Don't mean that one of them won't win, because it can obviously happen, but, you know, I think you're about right there. Justin Leonard, I meant to mention as well, a Texan who is showing signs, but not playing quite well enough for me to pick him.
Free lunch bet.
Oh, God.
I'll take one of my two outsiders against one of your outsiders.
Well,
Who would you want to put up out of those three that you've picked?
Peterson.
Okay, I'll take you on with Martin Flores then.
Martin Flores.
Yeah, Flores versus Peterson, okay. Which is a strange free lunch bet.
But yeah, that is, yeah.
We'll take it anyway.
Not headline stuff, is it? What about Phil Mickelson here then, Dave? What about the favourites? We should talk about them, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Never played here.
No, I'd prefer Phil Mickelson. If you're going to bat Phil Mickelson, it's going to be next week at Houston, I think.
He's playing, is he?
Yeah, he must play the week before the Masters, because it didn't work out when he skipped last year. So
he's going to play the 2 weeks before the Masters.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So not for me on this golf course, Mickelson.
No. Zach Johnson, he could go well actually. I backed him last week, let me down really. Thankfully, Stenson got most of our cash back for the week. But Johnson never really threatened after a decent start. But he's good enough, and this course should suit him. Jordan Spieth.
He's just gone off the boil a little bit, hasn't he? And he's still the price he was when he was almost at the peak of his powers earlier on in the season.
Yeah, off the boil is a little bit harsh, I think.
Yeah, maybe it's because I expect so much of him. When he finishes 20th or something, I see that as a negative.
Well, that's... tough.
It's a hard school. It's a hard school. But Spieth had a couple of starts here as well. Missed the cut last year.
Yeah.
41st in 2012. I know he's a different and better player now.
Yeah.
So he's got to be respected. But again, short at 20s. Matt Kuchar, 18-1.
Yes. Yeah, a couple of decent finishes here and playing pretty good. So he won't be a million miles away.
Should see. It's a good course for him, isn't it? Good setup for him.
Yes, should be, yes.
Ryan Palmer, Texan, that you've mentioned, should go well, but 25 is short for Ryan Palmer.
Desperately short, that. Desperately short.
Who's the man you don't want to win, then?
Probably Jakobsen, I would say. I would be top of my list of players that I don't want to win. Yeah. You?
I'd go with Fjorik, I think.
Yeah, Fjorik would be fine.
If there was one of the guys at the top of the betting that was going to bat this week, it would be Fjorik, because you know that he just drives the ball so well. He's going to give himself looks. And given that the par fives, something we're not really spoken about, the par fives are so long at this venue that they're three shotters for the majority of the field. That suits Jim Fjorik.
Yes.
Doesn't it? that sort of setup.
It suits two of my three players, and it was on my mind that you don't need to hit it a long way here for that very reason.
Par fives are tough. I know you've got to score on the par fives, but they're difficult around here.
You're struggling to eagle them, I think, is the you're absolutely bang on with that, Dave. Mm. So I would. It's going to be an intriguing event. You know, we've been speculative this week, haven't we? So we've gone for it a little bit, but that's not that bad a
strategy here.
Correct.
And given winners on tour recently as well. Mike, just recap your picks for this week then.
My picks this week are David Toms, John Herr and Carl Pettersson at 125-100 and 80 Pettersson, all half a point winner, half a point top 10.
Okay, you can check out the top 10 prices on the website. I'll just do that actually for you now. David Toms is 11-1. John Herr is in the betting at 7-1. And Carl Pettersson is 5-1 top 10. That's short,
a bit short, isn't it? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm glad you read that out, Dave. I thought the last two were a bit higher than that.
Yeah, you've almost got to go each way on the last
seven,
two. You can play.
Herr 7.
Herr 7. Pettersson 5.
What's going on there?
And Toms is 11. So well, Toms is the only one that's really...
I'm going each way the other two. Yeah. Because, Toms...
You've got to at those prices,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you're normally... I thought we were normally about a tenth of the odds for the...
I don't know what's happening with Mark Adsett's algorithm. Oh, I think it's broken down, hasn't it, though?
He's a cheeky monkey for doing that, isn't he? That's what's going on there. No, we'll change. They'll change the strategy to... being each way.
Yeah, each way on the bottom two or each way on all three?
No, the bottom two. Yeah, the bottom Tom's two. Top Tom's 10. Top yeah, 10. Yeah. I thought I'd check those and they were different, so there you go. I'm glad you read those out, Dave.
I'm going at 1.5 points each way, Kevin Chappell, 40-1. A point each way, Brian Davis, 125-1. And a point each way, Martin Flores at 100-1. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, at D. Kellner and at M. Grennan. Make sure you check out Golf Twitter Tipster as well, at Golf Twit Tipster, golftwittertipster.co.uk if you're looking for the website.
Yeah, I made a tweet about in the over the weekend, as in the Texas Open, as things become more apparent, how the good players are playing, what have you. We didn't mention the Eurasia Cup, but I would watch Hugh Slewton if you really want a bet in that for top European betting. I'm not betting on it myself other than that.
No, Team Europe well back, 2-5. You could have got Team Europe at 4-7 early, right at the start of the week. 2-5 now, the tie 10-1. Team Asia 5-2, and that does look like a strong Europe.
Yeah.
I can't believe some of the Europeans that are actually playing in this competition.
Neither can I.
I find it amazing that Graham McDowell's there, Victor Dubuis on there, Jamie Donaldson, who's been playing great stuff, is there as well.
Luton himself, you know.
Europe should win easily, shouldn't they?
Yeah,
really.
They should. Cafe Fernandez Castaño, they've got a really good team there. People are obviously wanting to be in the Ryder Cup reckoning, aren't they?
Yeah, that must be it.
Which is a good thing to see. But it's not an event that we're betting on so much, but as a pair here. But good luck to you if you have an interest in that.
At D. Kellner and at M. Grennan on Twitter, if you want to follow us, we'll be tweeting bets out throughout the course of the week.
I definitely will have a look, yeah.
I'm going to be able to watch this event a little bit more, so I'll be definitely on this one this
good
week.
Good stuff.
Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. Remember, you can check this out on Audio Boo as well. And we'll be back next week. Only 2 weeks to the Masters now.
We're going to hunt down Mark Adsett about his top 10 prices.
We are indeed. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. And we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.